listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts for today, Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson.
Well, Eric and Hunter, I hope you don't mind if I interlope on your hosting duties today.
Sorry to get into a routine.
For today.
Might be Doug here, too.
Hey, yeah, Doug Padgett's in today, too. Hey, but I love the repartee, that it's a this wonderful little conversation amongst peoples. And we have many a host, the Erics, the Hunters, the Bretts, the Richard Painters, the Paul Wallaces, the Callers, and me, you know, so Doug Padgett. So we're all in. Yeah, super fun. Hey, Eric, how was your weekend? How do you spend a fancy, nice weathered weekend like this? What is a guy like you do?
A guy like Eric spends a fancy, nice weathered weekend like this. Open up my mom with yard work, kind of as an early Ooh. Mother's Day present.
Ooh, boy, you're a good son.
Mm-hmm. I just wow, heard a pat on the head.
Did you have to dig things out? Did you have to like restart a garden? All that hard work that people.
Oh yeah,
have to do
exactly. So. I got a lot of old plants. Trim some bushes.
Yeah. Well. Hey, I'll tell you what. I'm married to a mother of children, including some sons that help in, and daughter that help in the garden. And when they do, nothing brings more joy to the life of Shelley Padgett than when her children say they'll come over and help in the garden. So I would imagine with your mother as well, this was the finest she could expect from a weekend like this.
Yeah, I think she's appreciative.
Good. Hey, did you go to the May Day parade? Apparently, it's going to be the last one or the last one of its kind. I did not make it, but did you make it over to the May Day parade?
You know, I couldn't. I wanted to go, but yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah, it's often a regular in my routine. I wasn't up for it. Just I didn't go. I didn't mm-hmm. I didn't go on purpose. I don't know what that was about. But I did learn about May Day this week. Something that I had not known, that May Day. It's also coupled here in Minneapolis, the parade that happens in Minneapolis, with Cinco de Mayo. But May Day itself, back in the 1920s, was a political, like actually socialist, maybe even go as far as to say a communist-supported ideas around politics. And I hadn't known that. I hadn't kept up with the sort of long history of establishing May Day as a day when there was when the big fight in America was going on about capitalism, socialism, communism. You know, this is pre-World War II and sort of the communist scare and all. But there were arguments about how should we own our civic life and what should the enterprise of economics be. And May Day fits into that group, which then became sort of aggressively progressive and aggressive in their tactics, and was later replaced by Labor Day as a thing. So anyway, if you were to Google or spend a little time around the notions of what made May Day a May Day, that's what it is. It was a political day.
To commemorate the Haymarket riots.
Yes. Okay. So you know about this already. The Haymarket riots had people had died, and there was a big push, and they tried to establish a day, and then it became an international day, and sort of overwhelmed the American day.
It's kind of strange that it would change in the United States to Labor Day, but the rest of the world still celebrates May Day.
May Day as the like Labor Day. The more progressive Labor Day. Yeah. And that's totally been lost. I mean, even when you go to the May Day parade in the land of liberal lattes and beards, or as our bumper music says, it's never brought up. It's just rarely talked about in such fanciful ways.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what I liked about the parade, was that it was kind of openly left wing. They had a lot of like labor groups, a lot of socialist mm-hmm. groups. What was it? A float that they added?
Yeah, they did. But I'll tell you, as somebody who pays attention to this stuff, because I didn't know the connection between May Day and those movements, which I'm not sure why I missed that. I think it's because I went to public education at Hopkins High School. But I didn't know that. I just thought that all of that was because that represented the influence of those kinds of groups here in Minneapolis. Like, I didn't think it was connected specifically to the May Day parade. I somehow missed that. I kind of wish they had been more more forthright about that, because the conversations that people are having in this country now about the future of capitalism, if that's even what we have functioning, I think we actually have something that's far off from just capitalism. We have like an investment culture that's all built around debt and not built around capital. I don't know what debt-based economy would be as opposed to capital-based economy or social-based economy or community-based economy. But that's what we're in right now, is just a debt-based economy. The country's in debt. Individuals are in debt. Corporations try to function as if they're in debt. Everybody tries to pitch themselves as, hey, I ain't got nothing. I got no money. We're just all in debt. And we've decided to run an entire economy around the musical chairs of people passing debt back and forth to each other. It's really, really quite remarkable, the way it's going. But I wish we'd been talking about that at the May Day parade. I think that would have been awfully fun. Hey, I got a little bit of good news today, Eric, just moments before we came on the air. Just moments before. My daughter is going to have a baby, and it's going to be our little grandbaby, and she just texted a picture with a it's a boy notification. So
congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, we've been just thrilled out of our minds for the little one to be a girl. But somehow, once you get the gender known, it just sharpens the focus.
Yeah, it kind of makes it real.
Yeah, really curious. I wonder if that little guy will grow up and help his mom, my daughter, with the garden someday.
Yeah, hopefully.
I bet. We'll say, hey, you know, Grandpa says you're supposed to get out there and make your mom's heart happy by helping her. Hey, and by the way, Mother's Day coming this week, in the midst of all the other sort of May experiences, from May Day to Memorial Day, in there's Mother's Day and all the kinds of celebrating. So if those are days that are important to you, just remember that those are up and coming. Hey, today's not only a special day for people because it's the day after May Day, but it's also Ramadan. So a blessed Ramadan to any of the people listening who celebrate Ramadan or are connected to those who celebrate Ramadan. And Ramadan runs for a month. It's a movable festival of Islam, and it's I don't know the calculation around how and when Ramadan is set. Eric, is that something you already know? Do you already know?
It has to do with the Islamic calendar.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's not exactly on the 365-day year, because I know it moves around throughout the year.
Yeah, I believe that's right. It probably has something to do with when spring is established, like Easter and Passover and those kinds of things. But anyway, it's at a time where people who observe the Ramadan fast don't eat from sunrise to sunset. And I have some friends who observe the fast, and they will often say, boy, we like it when Ramadan falls in the winter, because then, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's a long day.
So sunset is a lot earlier, like 4:30. Those short days are great. These longer days when it's getting till 8:30, and sometimes it has fallen in the summer, and they're like, oh, man, you know, these are 16, 17-hour days here in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. And I was in Dubai during Ramadan, and legally you're not allowed to eat or drink out in public. Mm-hmm. And it was, yeah, so the middle of summer, very hot.
And you can't drink anything, not even water.
Nope, not you. I mean, legally you're allowed to, but just not out in public. But when it's, you know, 120 degrees out, that's not so easy.
What were you doing in Dubai?
I was on vacation with my girlfriend's family.
They went to Dubai.
Mm-hmm. They're like world travelers, so
I should say
decided to make a stop.
I've never heard of anyone vacationing in Dubai. I mean, I've heard people go there for business, and I've heard people that like move there or go to visit a friend or something. But
yeah, I think there's a pretty large tourism industry over there, because I met a lot of different people who were vacationing over there, but not necessarily from the United States.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that's a big vacation place for Europeans and people from Africa and so on. Is that what you found?
Yeah, a lot of Africans and, yeah, a handful of Europeans, I guess.
Wow, did you buy a T-shirt, like a Dubai T-shirt when you were there, sleeveless?
I don't know. I know I got some fridge magnets.
Even better, the fridge magnet on vacation. I'm a big fan of doing all that cheesy stuff when you go on vacation, like buying sleeveless T-shirts from the with the name of the place on them.
I turn them into sleeveless.
Just cannot stand. I mean, she just... And she shouldn't. I mean, no one should actually tolerate a grown man wearing a sleeveless shirt. It's something that people do. I do it, but nobody should have to tolerate it. They should all someone should be able to raise their condemnation of the sleeveless tee, even a tank top. I mean, unless you're exercising or I don't know at the pool, I don't think a tank top is appropriate attire.
I'd agree. I wear them, but it warrants a groan.
It sure does. Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's just one of those things that you're like, I know. I would be groaning too, but I still really like it. So if you can get one with like Dubai on it or Key West or I don't know, some cheesy thing like that, an Omaha t-shirt, if that's where you go. Hey, but it's not only a special day because it's Ramadan, the day after, the May Day parade here, but, a big day for Michael Cohen. You might have heard this in the political news. Michael Cohen had to report to prison today. And I'll tell you, I'm not a Michael Cohen fan. I'm glad that he finally has fessed up on his collaboration and crimes that he has committed and with person number one, President of the United States. I'm glad he's fessed up to the degree that he has. But I'm not a fan of him overall. I think the way he's conducted his life has been damaging to so much of the country. But I'll tell you this. I don't wish ill on anyone. I want everyone to sort of come to grips with what they've done, do whatever you have to do to pay your debt or your personal sense of correcting the record. And anybody who has to go to prison, even if you think that federal prisons are like easy living, they're not easy living. It's a very difficult thing. Our entire system of criminal punishment in this country is not built around rehabilitation. It's not built around helping somebody thrive. It is fundamentally built around punishment. And even though it's Michael Cohen, and even though I would disagree with him on almost everything, it's kind of a big deal when somebody has to report for prison. So in the political scope, the fact that Michael Cohen, because of the crimes that he committed along with the president, is going to prison for those crimes and reporting to prison today for what's supposed to be 3 years. That's a big deal. Someday I think the president of the United States is going to have to go to prison. We'll talk about that here after the break. We'll get to that after the break on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, and your Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hello, this is Andrew Yang, Democratic candidate for president, and you're listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Better Futures Minnesota is a social enterprise which helps men achieve self-sufficiency and a better future for themselves and their communities. We need your help. By donating time or funds to our cause, you can support us and promote a healthier environment. By hiring our deconstruction crews for your next residential or commercial project and shopping or donating building materials or appliances to our reuse retail warehouse, you are supporting Better Futures Minnesota and your community. Please visit betterfuturesminnesota.com to learn more.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Supporting the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities has never been easier. You'll find an expansive list of local dining options at eatlocalminnesota.com, from classic American comfort food to authentic flavors from around the world. Experience cozy fireside dining at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul, specializing in fresh seafood, fire-roasted meats, and pizzas, all cooked over an oak-burning fire, and salads and sandwiches, too. Join them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week, located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com. Burger Mo's is the perfect neighborhood gathering spot before and after Excel Center events or anytime, offering 20 fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, more than 60 beers on tap, and happy hours twice daily. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
This is Reverend Jack from Minneapolis, and you are listening to the Repartee here on AM950. Hey, you guys are awesome. I love you. Repartee, yo. Peace.
And not only do we get to hear from the Reverend Jack as our bumper commentator, but we get to talk to him on the phone. Hey, Reverend Jack, thanks for calling.
Hey. It's always crazy to hear that bumper. Thanks, you guys. It's cool.
You hear your own voice coming back at you through the phone, yeah.
Yep. Hey, man, we love you guys. We really do. Hey, so check it out. I just wanted to say real quick. So I really completely agree with everything that you were just saying. We're talking about Michael Cohen and stuff, and I'm not a fan either. I'm glad that he had his kind of come-to-Jesus moment, either literally or figuratively. But, you know, and I do appreciate him stepping out and trying to tell the truth, even if it's a little late, and even if it's because he was trying to save his own butt, I don't know. But when it comes to the thing that's crazy, when it comes to the federal prison system, I have a really dear friend, one of my very best friends, who wound up spending 14 years incarcerated in the federal prison system for selling weed. This is back in the early 90s. You know, and you think about it nowadays, it seems like that, you know, but yeah, 14, and in the federal system, you got to do all your time. You don't get that good time deal where you go in for, but there was a lot. Now Cohen's doing 3 years, you know, and he might do a little bit less, so you don't, you know, you can do like 90% or something like that. But the point is, like, for all the things that he did, this guy was selling pot to people, and they gave him 14 years, and he did all of it pretty much shy of a few months. But you're right, even if it's one of those, you know, minimum security things, they were showing it on the news this morning, when you have somebody that tells you, you know, here's what you wear, here's where you go, we're going to strip search you, this is what you can eat, this is when you can talk on the phone. You know, it's a big deal. It's not, you know, and I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve to be there, I don't know. But I'm saying that, you know, a lot of times people blow it off like, oh, it's the, you know, they call it club fed, you know.
Yeah.
But it isn't like that, you know, it's a serious deal. So, I don't know, I guess I just wanted to weigh in and say that,
the truth is,
though, unfortunately, there are people that commit a lot more serious crimes that, you know, it all comes down to who you are and what kind of money you've got and what your connections are as far as whether you pay for your sins or not. So
thanks, Jack.
Opinion.
Appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, anytime you start talking about the criminal punishment system, it's hard for a lot of people to even call it a justice system, right? Because you want to hold out that justice is something more than what we're doing with just convictions and prosecutions and plea deals. But in the criminal punishment system that we have, if you've ever been in jail or if you've ever been in prison, then you know the what confinement means. That to be confined has its own punishment to it. And because in this country we tend to think that if you go to jail or if you go to prison, whether that's federal prison or state prison, that basically however you get treated there is just – that's all part of the deal. Like, too bad. You don't get to say what happens to you in prison. That's a real fault in the moral fabric of this country. A number of ways to determine the morality of a society is to determine the morality based on how you treat the powerful. Do you give them more power than they deserve? How do you treat the wealthy? How do you treat the beautiful? How do you treat the people that have a lot of social equity? Do you treat them as fairly as you do people that don't have those things? Right? So you have to ask yourself in every society, how do you treat the people that have the most? Because if you're giving them too much, you know that you've veered from the moral path, which we do in this country. And then how do you treat the people that lack power, whether that's social power or if they're punished. And criminals, people that are put in jail for violating a crime, we tend in this society to write those people off and to put them into a separate category of humanity. We'll talk about them as inmates. We'll talk about them as criminals. We'll talk about them as the non-law abiding. And we act as if they're not people. And whatever happens to you when you end up in prison, when you end up in jail, that's just part of the deal. That's part of what happens. That's part of the punishment system. But a moral society would say that when someone is in a vulnerable circumstance, and being incarcerated is an extremely vulnerable circumstance, you need to be protected by the civic structures if you are vulnerable. So we should, in my opinion, be making sure that anytime we take somebody into confinement, now this would be if you broke a law, this would be if for some reason the government thinks that you're at risk, or if the government thinks that you have crossed the border without authorization and they want to hold you for a period of time. Anytime the government of the United States, state government, federal government, county government, holds someone, confines them, it is an obligation to be sure that that person is well treated. We have international rules around war when you take somebody in as a war in a war situation to be sure that they have rights and are protected. And there's an attitude in the United States that if you go to jail, if you go to prison, well, then, you know, we even make jokes about it, right? People will make jokes saying to men, like, don't bend over when you're in the shower, when you go to jail, this kind of thing. What they're referencing is that you could be sexually assaulted when you're in jail. The fact that so many people who go to prison, men and women, find themselves sexually violated, emotionally abused, physically damaged while they're in prison is just unthinkable. The way we treat prisoners is a way that you are that we should be analyzing and judging ourselves as a moral society. In fact, in the religious traditions, all of them, this being Ramadan and celebrating, as one of our good listeners on Facebook reminded us, that it's Ramadan, celebrating the time when the verses of the Quran, the Muslim book of the holy book of the Muslim community, was said to be given to the Prophet Muhammad in 610 AD. In the Quran, in the Old Testament of Jewish tradition, in the New Testament of the Christian tradition, in the teachings of Jesus, how you treat the prisoner, how you treat those that are held and incarcerated, how you treat those who are the immigrant or the refugee, the one who is vulnerable, no matter what put them in a state of vulnerability, their own choices, good or bad, what put them in vulnerability. Those are the ones that in all of the religious traditions, it says, you care for those people with extra measure. But in the United States, in our criminal punishment system, we go the other way. Don't worry about it. They shouldn't be asked. I can't believe those people have televisions. What kind of food do they get? How much does it cost? They get time outside. There's people who will actually argue that solitary confinement is not a problem. It's a human violation. So if we're going to be serious about having a justice system where we're going to punish people for their crimes, then the punishment needs to be moral. And I would just argue that our prison systems, sometimes good things come out of them. People have life changes for sure. But that happens in spite of the situation that's happening in prisons. And I'm an advocate for trying to stop the death penalty, because the death penalty is the ultimate violation of justice. It's the ultimate violation of those who are incarcerated, who are held, who are confined. Rather than being protected, they're given a date by which they're going to be executed. It violates the moral code of this country. And we need to return to a moral code if we're going to call people to fulfill the legal responsibilities and morality, and that's the reason we incarcerate them. Then our prison system, our jail systems need to become moral places. And I'll tell you, almost everybody who works in those systems will tell you they're not, and they need to be. So on a day like today, when people sort of focus their attention, and I appreciate Reverend Jack's comments, that it's easy to say, well, he's going to Club Fed, and you know, this is minimum security prison. We need to make sure that all prison situations care for the humanity, because the way we as a society treat someone is not just damaging to them, it's potentially damaging to our own society. It's hard to call for morality in our society when our society acts immorally toward people, even those who have violated our laws or our mores. As Reverend Jack has reminded us, sometimes our laws tend to change, and you'll have somebody who was guilty of a crime at one period of time that's then no longer a crime, and how you treat those people. And when they come out, rather than incorporating them back into society and doing what you can to help accommodate the months or years that they were away, we do almost none of that in our society. And I think it's a time for us to be thinking about the morality. If we're going to take the moral high road to send someone to prison, we have to take the moral high road of how we treat them when they are in prison. It's my little editorial on prison today, brought to you by the going to prison from Michael Cohen. This is AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Give us a call, chat about that if you'd like, 952-946-6205. We'll pick up that conversation after the break.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from the Bradcast. Heard every weeknight at 7 p.m., but don't worry, for now, you're in good hands with Doug, Brett, and Hunter on the one and only Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at MinnesotaAtheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Mother's Day in the Twin Cities means the Mother's Day Buffet at the Park Tavern. On May 12th, treat mom to herb-crusted beef, broiled cod, honey-glazed ham, eggs benedict, breakfast and lunch sides, salads, and desserts. Mom even gets a free mimosa and a carnation. Seatings are from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. $21.95 for adults, seniors are $14.95, kids are $10.95, 5 and under are free, and don't forget the hour of free bowling with every reservation. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, enjoy Mother's Day, Sunday the 12th, with the Park Tavern.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chushke, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 38. Tuesday, cloudy with a high near 60 and a low around 44. Wednesday, a 60% chance of rain with up to quarter of an inch possible. High of 50 and low around 40.
Shop local with one of AM 950's advertisers for Mother's Day. There's everything from wellness shops, pet care, electronics, restaurants, and more. It's a great way to support not only AM 950, but also local businesses and shops.
Find a full list of advertisers at am950radio.com.
This is Nick Schrock with Nick Slavic Painting and Restoration, and I'm painting at AM 950 today, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hey, welcome back to the Progressive Repartee. We talk about all kinds of things that have to do with Minnesota, progressive life. Hey, Eric, I'm going to say something about Donald Trump here in a moment because I think that he's committed a crime and needs to go to prison. And I did that little editorial there on life in prison because I think I want people to know that suggesting that someone has committed a crime is a really big deal. Right. It's sometimes it's just politics. Right. Sometimes people are just using it to sort of gin up a crowd, chanting lock her up or something like this. And then there's times where it's deadly serious, where a prosecutor uses the full weight of the government to come bearing down on someone's life. And if you've ever been in the crosshairs of a prosecution, you know that's no joking matter. It's a really serious thing because the federal government, state government's ability to affect your life is really significant. So I do not take it lightly at all to suggest that the president of the United States has acted in such a way that he should be prosecuted by the very powers of the federal government that he sits on top of for his behavior. It's a really, really big deal. And when people make light of the Mueller report or they make light of the suggestion that he should first be impeached and then be prosecuted, it's a really big deal, right? It's politically speaking, I think he shouldn't be president, right? As just a citizen of the United States, I'm like, we got to get this guy out as soon as possible. In any normal set of affairs, that would be 48 months from the time that he took office, right? You get him out by elections. I don't know what you do when the president behaves like a criminal. This puts the whole country in a really bad circumstance. And so we have very blunt and very harsh and very dangerous responses that are available when someone has violated their oath to such a degree that you then have to bring in prosecutorial responses to them. And very often it's not people inside of an administration. It's only people inside of an administration and not the president, as it's only been in our society, himself, that has done such a thing. But this is the case that we find ourselves in. So, Eric, I don't know if you saw that there's a statement by former federal prosecutors that was posted today. At the time that it was published, there were 370 former prosecutors that all said what we've read in the Mueller report would have been, to any of our judgments, significant enough evidence to prosecute Donald Trump for obstruction of justice.
Wow, no, I have not seen that.
I'm going to read parts of it for you because there's nothing more entertaining than someone reading other people's writing on the radio. Here's what they write. We, former federal prosecutors, we served under both Republican and Democratic administrations at different levels of the federal system as line attorneys, supervisors, special prosecutors, United States attorneys, and senior officials at the Department of Justice. And that we at that time was up to 370 who had signed on to this open letter. The offices in which we served were small, medium, large, suburban, urban, rural, located in all parts of the country. So they're giving you a little bit of range here. The Republicans and Democrats are people at all different parts of the system that paid attention to different parts of the system. And each of us, it goes on to write, each of us believes that the conduct of the president described in Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report would, in the case of any person not covered by the Office of Legal Counsel policy against indicting a sitting president, result in multiple felony charges for obstruction of justice. The Mueller report describes several acts that satisfy all the elements for an obstruction charge. Conduct that obstructed or attempted to obstruct the truth-finding process, as to which the evidence of corrupt intent and connection to pending proceedings is overwhelming. Then they go on to list the three big categories. The president's efforts to fire Robert Mueller and to falsify evidence about that effort. That was number one. Number two, the president's efforts to limit the scope of the Mueller investigation to exclude his conduct. And number three, the president's efforts to prevent witnesses from cooperating with investigators probing him and his campaign. And then it goes on to describe each of those in a bit more detail. It's a quick read. I have it on my Facebook profile. I'll tweet it out at Padgett on Twitter. And then they go on to say this line, which I think is really important, the second to last paragraph. We emphasize that these are not matters of close professional judgment Of course, there are potential defenses and arguments that could be raised in response to an indictment of this nature that we've described here. In our system, every accused person is presumed innocent and is always the government's burden to prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt. But to look at the facts and to say that the prosecutor could not probably sustain a conviction for obstruction of justice, the standard set up by the principle of federal prosecution, runs counter to logic and to our experience. They're basically saying, we understand that Robert Mueller said, I cannot accuse him of obstruction of justice because he cannot be prosecuted because he's a sitting president, according to the current charging standards. So I'm not going to say that he should be charged. Instead, I'm just going to lay out the facts. And these people, nearly 400 of them, I bet it's more than 400 of them by now, have signed on with their own personal reputations to say what Donald Trump has done is articulated in the Mueller report, which most people have not read. They've only gone with the news reports and the statements by Attorney General Barr. These people are saying, look, what he did, if he was anyone else, would have been charged with multiple felonies. The weight of the government charging you with a felony, let alone multiple felonies, is a really big deal. I know that there's this theory in the Republican swamp that says, oh, look, everybody commits felonies. Everybody breaks the law. If the federal government came looking at any of us, all of us would be prosecuted for something. It's the biggest bunch of boohickey. No, Eric, I'm pretty sure, I don't know what you did this weekend, but I'm pretty sure that they're not going to find you for multiple felonies if people just start nerding around in your life. I'm pretty sure that would be true of me. I'm pretty sure it's true of most of our elected officials. No, most people do not obstruct justice. And most people do not use their role as the president in order to obstruct justice. So what are we to do? What's a society to do? Well, fortunately, the founders of the country and the framers of the Constitution said, oh, there's a remedy for this. Impeach the person, remove them from office, and then charge them with a crime. Don't charge him with a crime. I understand why you wouldn't want to be charging a president with a crime. There's all kinds of exceptions that go to of people who don't get charged in our world with crimes in different countries. There's good reasons for it. Because you could tie somebody's life up in charges that are being brought by people all over the country. And we want to set aside the presidency to have a lot of freedom to not have to function that way. So then what does a society do when laid out before us are multiple evidentiary statements that show that the president of the United States committed a crime? Multiple crimes. And I will just say, even worse than him committing this obstruction of justice, if he did it, committed obstruction of justice because he wanted people to not think that his election wasn't all that great, if he's really doing it not to cover up known conspiracy with the Russians, if we take Donald Trump at his word, and I had to shut my eyes even to say that, but if we took him at his word that he did not believe there was any criminal conspiracy with the Russians, only just run-of-the-mill campaign collusion, but no criminal conspiracy. And he was obstructing justice not to cover up his acts of criminal conspiracy, but was covering up his own election reputation. That makes it somehow worse to me. If the president of the United States is willing to utilize his role as the president in order to bolster his own reputation and is willing to violate the laws of obstruction of justice in order to do it, just consider that for a moment. His standard by which he would burn the bridge of criminality, that he would cross the bridge and act in a criminal way multiple times over 2 years, just so that people wouldn't say, well, the Russians helped you with your election. If it was because he felt that I'm being falsely accused and my campaign was the greatest campaign ever and you're going to take something away from my campaign, which is the argument that Attorney General Barr has said. He said, well, the reason Donald Trump was so infuriated was he was worried that it was going to damage his reputation. To not fulfill your constitutional and legal requirements to not obstruct justice because you were worried that people wouldn't think well of you? How small-minded and pathetic can you get? Like, on one hand, you'd think, boy, if he's covering up an enormous crime, conspiring with the Russians, and he obstructed justice to do that, you think that's massive. Well, how pathetic is it that he's willing to violate his oath of office and the criminal code to violate the standard and the protection of justice for all and obstructs justice just to protect his own pathetic self-narration of his reputation? But either way you do it, for whatever reason, if you obstruct justice, you obstruct justice. So what's the country to do? Impeach the president and then try him. And I got to tell you, it's a real big problem in this country if we're going to put a former president in jail along with Michael Cohen. If he ends up having to report to prison right alongside Michael Cohen, that's going to damage the presidency even more than the last 2.5 years of the Trump administration has been. It's a real damage. My argument for impeachment, based on 370 and counting federal prosecutors who all say what they've read in the Mueller report is enough to indict any other person who's not the president of the United States. We are in a significant situation in this country, and I hope we don't stop noticing it. Doug Badgett on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950. We'll be back after the break.
Hey, I'm Lori Fitz from Connections Radio Show, and I want you to join us for Repartee on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming, diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
The Minneapolis Farmers Market has the best selection of plants for your gardens, the freshest produce, meats, and farmstead goods. You'll find meat vendors, some homestead vendors, and greenhouse vendors in the early part of spring. Plus, there will be fresh produce when the weather gets warmer. The Hennepin County Government Center Market is open Tuesdays. The Nicollet Mall Market is open on Thursdays. And the 312 East Lindell Market is open daily from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
At Mother Earth Gardens, we've been selling heirloom and open pollinated plants for your backyard homestead since 1994. We research our products and we handpick every pot, trellis, and gift. So if you love 50-plus varieties of tomatoes, native planting for pollinators, and a shocking variety of annuals and perennials, make the journey to one of our two locations, South Minneapolis across from the Riverview Theater and Northeast at Stinson and Lowry. Small footprint, surprising selection. MotherEarthGarden.com.
This is Gary from Minneapolis on the Rapporteur, Minnesota's progressive grassroots station fighting the privileged few.
Hey, welcome back, Rapporteurs, as Gary likes to call you. All right, so I went a little rant there, if you missed it over the commercial break, about what I think is a heartbreaking circumstance and situation by which the country has to deal with the impeachment of the president. I've been a don't impeach guy. I've been a don't impeach guy with Clinton. I was a don't impeach guy with Bush. I was even a don't impeach guy with Trump, because I think impeachment rips the country apart. It's really, really harsh. And only in circumstances when the country is having to deal with a circumstance they can't get their heads around in any other fashion do you utilize the removal of a president from office before the fulfillment of the term. It's a really big deal. It's got to happen, though. We just cannot have a president do this. You cannot have a president obstruct justice for whatever reason, especially for pathetic reasons, and then just do nothing about it. You can't let it happen. Really in a quandary. And Jim from Brooklyn Park has some thoughts about this. Hey, Jim, how are you thinking about this?
Well, I guess I was just thinking that, like you say, it just can't pass. I'm not concerned about damage to the presidency. I think it's the only way to clean the presidency is to get him out of there. Too much damage is done to the justice system by people walking free for all kinds of horrible things. And it's time to clean house. That's how I feel.
Yeah, but and I'll tell you what, it just feels to me like if we're going to even feign the fiction that there's three equal branches of government, if we're just going to just pretend that that's the case, the judicial branch, the executive branch, and the legislative branch, if we're just going to pretend that that's the case, even if people say, well, really, we've ended up with sort of a presidency that's bigger than the other two. There's sort of it's the big one, then two little small. If we're going to just pretend that there is one, then the president of the United States cannot obstruct justice. That's the justice side of the system. I just don't get it. And for people to take a political angle on this, and all of my friends, and they have an argument to make, the Democrats who do not want impeachment. They have an argument to make, and they should make it. And if they can convince people like me, please do. Let me off the hook here. They could make but the people who want to make the argument that, well, it's going to be bad for election in 2020. For the love, do the right thing and let the chips fall where they will. If you're going to tell us that the argument is the reason we're not going to do the right thing is because we want to be your representatives in 2020, that makes no sense. It makes no sense. We're not going to do the right thing so that you'll vote for us. That's the very thing that I'm thinking Trump has to be impeached for, is not doing the right thing so that he would be reelected. It just blows my mind. All right. Hey, Randy in St. Cloud, maybe you can talk some sense into me, or maybe you agree. I don't know. But hey, Randy, how are you thinking about this?
I think Trump has done all the damage to the presidency that can be done already, but and letting him off the hook, I agree, is a big deal. But, like, Matt spent his hour basically talking about mostly this, and you spent a lot of it talking about accountability and all that. At the same time, John Bolton and Pompeo sent war ships over into the vicinity of Iran and saying, oh boy, you guys better just pull the line, and then we're ramping up a coup in Venezuela.
Yeah,
that's what presidents who are in trouble do, is they start wars, because you can't get rid of a president during a war. That's just not right, blah, 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 blah. So that's what's, I think, 10 times more important.
I got to tell you, Randy, I think you're right.
He's already damaged, but those are people are going to die. And we're doing it for oil, and it's just insane. And a lot of the Democrats are going along with it.
Yeah, boy, I think I think you're so right, Randy, about this, right? The level of distraction that an impeachment causes, or that the president's violating the federal law creates in our system, is that, as you rightly noted, I spent a whole, you know, half of a show talking about this. Because it's so big, you have to deal with it. And then there's also this other stuff you have to do. And this is the overwhelming nature of someone who is so criminally bent as Donald Trump. This is what happens with a lawless president. And I know we have to do all the things. We have to attract our attention and drive our attention toward that the president needs to be impeached. And we need to drive our intention our attention to the fact that there's a potential coup in Venezuela, that they're moving on Iran, that they're going to be ramping up with North Korea, all of these things as well. I couldn't agree more. This is the problem. That's why we have to deal with this one, because if you lose the moral ground, you can, and then you just find yourself throwing your hands up in the air and shouting at the radio. He's really got us in a pickle. So we have to do what we can do. And there's one thing we can do, and that's impeach the president. Hey, Gary, we just have a minute left, but I'd love to get your thoughts.
Yeah, we got to clean up that Supreme Court, too, them Republican political hacks, especially those that gave us Citizens United and that judge that McConnell stole from us and Obama. And, you know, they got so many of them corrupt judges in the lower courts, too. It's just really pathetic. The election night, I thought, oh, man, they got the courts for a generation when that joker got in there.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, it's, Gary, it's, you know what it feels like? You know, people like to talk about what's the first issue? What what's the most, almost as if issues line up in a single file line. Sort of imagine a single file line, like at a coffee shop where everybody stands in line. But I don't think issues that we're facing in our country are lined up in a single file line. I think they're lined up like at the front of a race where they're side by side parallel, all ready to go. The starting line is a better metaphor than the single file line. This starting line of issues that we're having to deal with Trump, it's unbelievable, from the courts to the wars to the incompetency, the blatant incompetency that's just never been seen in our American civic political system before. We don't even have a functioning president or attorney general. It's unbelievable. And then you have to impeach him as well. It's just overwhelming. It's like a natural disaster where we've been hit with an earthquake and a tornado and a water event all at the same time. Hey, have a great Monday, everybody. Good news from the Minnesota Progressive Repartee here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hang in there. We're going to get out of this some point.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at AM950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.